Morning. Today's daf in Erevin is Chafhei. We are starting on the top of Chafhei Amud Aleph, and this is going to be our third day of discussing the concept of Karpuf. We have an idea in which you have an enclosed area. It's got four walls along the four sides, and min ha-Torah it is considered Rishus Yachid, but nevertheless, if it's a non-residential area, which means to say that when the walls were put up, it was designed as a non-residential area, so such an area is what is called in halacha a karpuf, which means that mid rabbanim one cannot carry in that area if it exceeds 5,000 square amas, or also described as sasaim, two sa'a worth of seed being planted in that area. And so this is the topic that came up in the Mishnah Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, and now the Gemara has been discussing on Chaf Gimel Chaf Dal in today's daf as well, Chafei. This idea of karpa. A good part of our discussion, which we'll continue today, is the rezoning of an area. If I have an area which is low hukaf ladira, so how could we rezone it in order so that it become an area which is hukaf ladira? That has been a big topic of discussion yesterday, and it will continue to be so do so today. And this topic will cover us until the end of the parak. End of the parak is coming up in Yirtzeh Hashem tomorrow. So between today and tomorrow, we're going to be discussing inyanei karpa. We are in Chafei Amud Aleph, at the top of the Amud, and we continue now with the Gemara scenarios, and basically, and essentially how to rezone an area. Karpuf Yosem may base Hashem Shalu Kaf Ladira, so the Gemara starts off on the top of the Amud, that let's say we have a Karpuf which is larger than a base Hashem, and it was not residential when it was originally built, Vala Ma'ato. So, and now what you want to do is you want to just simply reduce the size. So here, what you're not interested in doing is rezoning. You're just over here interested in minimizing. Because even a non-residential area, if the enclosed area is less than 5,000 square amas, then it would be permitted to carry in such an area. So over here, all the person wants to do is just simply reduce the area. How do you reduce it? Miato bi ilan oslavi miyot. So if you try to reduce it with trees, so that's not considered reduction. Why is that not considered reduction? So we go back to what we said in yesterday's daf. Yesterday, we pointed out that trees does not really affect people's ability to walk through. People will walk between the trees. People will walk under the trees. People actually like the trees because the trees provide shade. So trees is not really considered something that blocks traffic. And so over here, if you're trying to minimize the area by planting in trees, it does nothing. It's not a reduction. However, if you put a significant size pillar in the middle of this area, and when we say significant, with dimensions, it is 10 tefachim high. It's at minimum a 4x4 wide. So that is considered a reduction because obviously what you have over here is something of significance. Meaning, as we've said already numerous times in this Masechta, when you have that area, so in general, it's considered Rishus HaYachid. Over here, it's not so much that I need a Rishus HaYachid to make it significant. It has to be a chash of makum. It just has to be a significant area so that now it occupies space and it reduces the total area of the karpuf. So that's what we have over here. It's 10 tefachim high. It's 4x4. It's now considered significant. And therefore, we get to reduce the area. Okay. Pachos Migimel, sorry, before I continue in the Gemara, Banabo Amud, look at Rashi over here. You're putting this pillar. Where are you putting the pillar? So Rashi says over here, Vafilo Be'emtza, I could put the pillar even in the middle of the Karpach, Uvekach Nisma'at Me Beis Hasayim, and yet that's going to reduce from the area of the Beis Hasayim. So Rashi over here says that there really is no restriction in terms of where you're going to put it. One could have argued that where you need to put it is up against the wall in order to reduce the area. But Rashi says that's not true. You could put it even in the middle, and that would be sufficient for reduction. Now, Pachos Migimel Lahavi Miyot. Now, if this pillar that you made was less than 3 tefachim, that is not considered a miyot, then for the obvious reason that once it's less than 3 tefachim, it's not significant whatsoever. Migimel Vadala. Now, let's say the pillar is anywhere between 3 to 4 tefachim in terms of square area. 3.5 by 3.5. So what's the story with that? Rabba Amar Havimiyot. Rabba Amar Lo Havimiyot. So here we have a machlokus between Rabba and Rava, and we're going to get used to it because the next couple of cases are going to be machlokus Rabba and Rava. So here machlokus between these Amorayim. Rabba's of the position that it's a reduction. Rabba with a hay. It's kind of hard to hear the difference between them when you say them. But traditionally, Rabba with a hay is with a bays, and Rava with an aleph is with a vase. Okay. Grammatically, I don't know if that's true, but traditionally that's how it's done. Anyway, Rabba says it's a miyud, and Rabba says it's not a miyud. Rabba amar have miyud deha nafikle mitaros lavad, because according to Rabba, what's so significant about 3.5? I'll tell you what's so significant about 3.5. It's greater than 3. And we know that once something is greater than 3, it's no longer falls under the category of lavud. So it's significant at that point in time. Rav amar lo havi miyud kevin de lo havi makam da lo chashiv. And Rav's counter argument is no. A makam chashiv requires 4 tfachim. So since this is not 4 tfachim, it's only 3.5, it's not a makam chashiv. And therefore it's not going to reduce from the area. Fine. Hirchek menakoso dal vasa mechitza. Okay, now. We move on to another discussion where here again, we want to move this area from a karpaf shalohukaf ladira to a karpaf shokaf ladira. Now Rashi makes this point over here, and I'm going to make this as clear as possible. Over here, it for a moment sounds like we're talking about reducing the area. We're not talking about reducing the area. What we're doing over here is that we're creating new walls. Remember, we go back to yesterday's daf. In order to convert an area from a non-residential to residential, so you have to break down the walls and you have to build them up anew. That's what we learned yesterday. Over here, we're going to do something similar. It's not going to be the same, but basically what we want to do is we want to create new walls in order to rezone the area to residential. So here, what we're going to be doing is that we're going to be making new walls. We're not knocking down the old walls, but we're making new walls interior to the old walls, and we've recessed them from the old walls for tfachim. Under those circumstances, Howell, so that is going to work. Rashi says, you'll notice very carefully, the Gemara does not say mimma 8, because we're not talking about reduction here, Rashi says very clearly. But rather what we're talking about is just simply the construction of new walls. And being that these new walls are further than 4 tefachim from the old walls, we can now view these as totally independent walls. And since these walls were put up for residential purposes, so we have now rezoning. So, Howell, Pachus, Migim, Alo, Howell. Now, let's say the new walls are only within 3 tfachim of the old walls. So then, of course, they're not significant because you have not added significantly additional walls. Why are they not significant? Because less than 3, we have the principle of Lavud. And that tells us that these walls are really just extenders of the old wall. It would be no different than me just padding the old wall. And so, therefore, it doesn't do anything. It's not significant. Now, what if it's anywhere between 3 to 4? Rabba Amar Hol, Rabba Amar Eino Mowil. So anywhere between 3 to 4. So here we go again, where Rabba's of the position that that's okay, that's acceptable, meaning these new walls now are considered rezoning the area for residential. And Rabba says, no, that's not the case. And the Gemara explains, Rabba Amar Hol da Hanafik Le Mitaros Lavad. And here, the argument that Rabba used previously, he's going to use again. Meaning, as long as now it's more than 3, it's now beyond Lavad, and that already makes it significant. And Rabba Amar Eina Mol Kevin Dolo Havi Makam Dalo Chashiv. And Rabba, on the other hand, says, no, a Makam Chashiv requires an area minimum 4 Tfachim. You don't have the area minimum 4 Tfachim, so therefore it's not significant. Okay, Adkan, that takes us now to the second machlokus of our morning. And just on the second machlokus, Rav Shimi Masni Lekula. Rav Shimi had a tradition where there is a debate, just like we said, between Rabba and Rava, in the case where I make a new wall, the new wall's interior of the old wall, everything the same we just said. The only notable difference, according to Rav Shimi, is that in terms of when they argue, so the numbers drop, meaning if the distance between the new wall and the old wall is anything greater than 3 tfachim, so then Kuliyama, everyone agrees that that's fine. If, however, the distance is less than 3 tfachim, even though it's lavud, that's the machlokus between Rabba and Rava. That's Rav Simi's tradition, as explained by Rashi. Tachbotit, we're up to our third machlokus of the morning. Let's say what we do is that we are going to be adding to the wall. In other words, you take some clay, some mortar, and you're just simply adding it to the wall. And now what's that going to do? So now we're back to the topic of reduction. We're not talking about rezoning. We're talking about just simply reducing. And I know that because the Gemara in a moment is going to use the word memait, miut. So Rashi taught us this, you know, hundreds of years ago. But just the sensitivity of the language of the Gemara, when the Gemara uses the word moel, it's talking about rezoning. When the Gemara is using memait, the Gemara is talking about reduction. That's what we're talking about over here. And so what you're doing now is you're putting a layer of clay mortar on the inside of the walls, reducing the interior area. So now, if let's say the clay is strong enough where it could stand on its own, that's a reduction. Now, let's say it cannot stand on its own. Now, if it can stand on its own, it's going to be hard for it to serve as a reduction if it's just going to slough off. But presumably, while it's up there, so Rabba Amar Havimir and Rava Amar Lo Havimir. And here we go, round three, Machlokus Rabban Rava. So Rabba says it's a reduction. Rava says it's not a reduction. Rabba Amar Havimir Hashta Miyakai. So Rabba says, let us look at the here and now. Now it is currently plastered against the interior of the wall. Now it's actually reducing the interior space. And I'm going to make the obvious point. It has to be where the reduction now, where it makes the interior space less than 5,000 square amos. Under those circumstances, now you have an area in which you can carry. Because if you haven't rezoned it, it's still a karp of shalahu kafladira. It's just now within allowable area airspace. And Rava Amar lo havi miyu kevin lo yachol lamekam bifnei atzma lo lav klumu. And according to Rava, no. Since it's not going to hold, and we know it's not going to hold, so therefore we cannot view it as halachically significant. Here chik menatel dalei va'asa mechitza. We're up to now our fourth machlokus of the morning, and that's the following. Let's say that I have an area enclosed. One of the sides of the enclosure is a mount, where the slope is significant enough. As we discussed already a number of times, when you have a slope at an angle where it is greater than tel hamislakeit, asar tfachim betoch dalet amos, when the slope is, the hypotenuse is 10 tfachim, the distance across is 4 amos, when you have that kind of slope and configuration, so then it is considered halachically a wall. And that is now serving as my fourth wall to this enclosed area. And now the enclosed area is an area that is non-residential. It's greater than 5,000 square amos, and so therefore it is a karpuf in which one is not allowed to carry. Now, what we do is the following, is that on the fourth side, where the enclosure is the mound, that's the tel. So hirchik mena tel dalvas mechitza hoel. So if what we did over here is that we added a wall over there in front of the mound, and it's four tfachim from the edge of the mound, so then that's going to work. And again, the word over here is not mima'id, but rather ho'el. What is that telling us? That the issue over here is that we are rezoning. And because the new wall is significantly interior of the mound, so therefore we have just rezoned the area to residential. Pachus migimo o asfasatel. Now let's say it's less than three tfachim from the edge of the mound. Or let's say I make the wall on top of the mound. So here we have a machlokus. Rav Chist of Rav Habnuna, between Rav Chist and Rav Habnuna, Chanam Arhol v'Chanam Arlo Ho'il. And so one says it is going to rezone, and the other says the area is not going to be rezoned. And the Gemara, in a moment, is just about to explain what is at issue over here. Tisayim de Rav Chist Amar Ho'il. Now, when originally presented the Machlokas Rav Chist of Rav Habnuna, we didn't know who subscribed to which position. The Gemara says, I'm telling you that Rav Chista says it works. It's going to rezone when I take the wall and put it on the top, on the zenith of the mound. Why? Because the following discussion ensued. What happens if I make a wall on top of another wall? So is that significant? Now I know that's a funny question, because if you remember yesterday's daf, does not require a long memory, but it requires some memory. If you remember yesterday's daf, we said that adding a wall to another, to a pre-existing wall, is totally insignificant. In a moment, we're going to see, not absolutely. In other words, for the most part, true, but not absolutely. So Rav Chista says that vis-a-vis Shabbos, it works. Now, I know that goes against yesterday's Gemara, meaning obviously Rav Chista is not in agreement with yesterday's Gemara, seemingly. I don't want to say obviously. Seemingly, it's not in accordance with yesterday's Gemara, but he says vis-a-vis Shabbos it works. And however, nichsei ager, in terms of acquisition, it does not work. Now, nichsei ager, you have the person who died who was a convert, and that means to say that he has no family, and now all of his possessions, so kola kodem zacha, anyone who gets there first and does a legitimate act of kinyan, so he's going to acquire that property. What is a way of acquiring a property? What are kinyane karka? So that's the Gemara in Kedushin. So what we're saying right now is that by doing a maisa chazaka, by doing a proprietary act, that is considered an act of acquisition. So over here, what if I build a wall, but there's already a wall, and all I'm doing is just adding to the wall? So it doesn't do anything. So even though Rav Chista says that building a wall on top of a wall vis-a-vis Shabbos is significant, but for nichsei ger, it's insignificant. Rav Sheshes Amar, Av Shabbos Nami Lo Hovo. And Rav Sheshes says, no, it doesn't work. Adding a wall to an existing wall doesn't help vis-a-vis Shabbos. It doesn't help in terms of kinyan. Tis Dayim. So what we just got out of this discussion is that Rav Chista is saying that on Shabbos, it does in fact work. So that means to say, now we go back to the previous machlokas, Rav Chisra, Rav Hamnuna, where I'm putting the wall on top of the mound. So basically, effectively, it is a mechitza agabe mechitza. Now we see that according to Rav Chisra, even though for Nichsei Agir it doesn't work, but for Shabbos it does work. So now we can identify Rav Chisra as being the one who says that it would work. I'm Rav Chisra Modular of Sheshashim Asa Mechitza Ala Tel Shahoel. Now, Rav Chisra is going to make the following argument. I know I'm arguing with Rav Sheshes, but Rav Sheshes will agree with me the following, that if I put the wall on top of the mound, meaning a wall on top of the wall, I'm going to give him that one. He's going to argue with me on that one, because the additional wall doesn't accomplish anything, it doesn't achieve anything. But in our discussion, putting a wall on top of a mound, that's significant. Even he'll agree with me. This is Rav Chisra's argument. Why? My tama hova aver mechitzas al yonos odar. Because consider, when the mound is serving the fourth partition of the enclosure, so that means to say that what is exactly the edge of the partition? Meaning when I'm in the karpov, I can go to what area? What's the limit? And the border is going to be the bottom of the slope of the mound. Meaning the mound itself is the wall. So in the karpov, I can walk up to the mound, but I can't go up the mound because the mound itself is serving as the wall. But when I'm using when I build the wall on top of the mound, so now what I've done is I've created more area in which one can walk. This is similar to what the discussion that we had at the end of yesterday's daf. If the wall that you're creating is serving and servicing another area, so then in halacha we're going to be viewing it as a bona fide wall. We're not just going to simply say it's just more wall, but because it actually increases the area or services another area, it's going to be considered a wall. And so the Gemara says, so Rav Chisra is saying, I think Rav Sheshes would agree with me in the case of the mound. Next discussion of the Gemara, this is a question that was posed from Rabba Bar Bar Chana, or he posed it, sorry. And that is as follows. Let's say you build a wall on top of another wall. Okay, so the additional wall that you built halachically is insignificant. Fine. And now what happens is that like the walls of Yericho, so the original walls just sink right into the ground. And now what that leaves you are the new walls that you built. And so when you built those walls, they were halachically insignificant. But now, due to something that was totally beyond your control and you had no active part in it, so now these walls become halachically significant. What do we say about such a scenario? And this is basically a classic question of, similar to grama. Meaning you didn't actively make the wall, but the wall was created passively based on an action you did earlier. So this is very similar to grama. So the Gemara says, well, again, we know that vis-a-vis walls, there are two discussions that we're currently having. One is a proprietary act in order to acquire property. Two is whether or not vis-a-vis Shabbos, whether such a wall would be considered a new wall vis-a-vis rezoning and creating an area shelo hukaf ladira into an area which is hukaf ladira. So there are two different discussions that we're having. So the Gemara says, which discussion you're making reference to? So the Gemara says, well, consider the following. In terms of proprietary act, I know this is insignificant. How do I know that? Because Haiman deshada lift apila da'ara diger ve'asa Yisrael achrina and rafak ba'porta basra kani kamalokani. Because consider the following halacha. You have an ownerless field. The previous owner was a ger. He died. He had no family. Now the field is open to be acquired. And so what one person does is he takes a vegetable, a turnip, and he throws it into a crack in the ground. So now he plants in the ground. But when I say he plants in the ground, he didn't actively do anything. He just simply allowed the turnip, he threw the turnip, but allowing it to fall into a crack in the ground. And then along comes somebody else and actually hoes the ground, works the ground in order so that the turnip will go in. The second person was Kona, the first person was not Kona. My time be Idna Deshada Kashavach, because at the time when he threw it, be Idna Deshada Lo Kashavach. At the time when the first person threw it, that did not create an improvement. Ki Kashavacha mi Melaka Meshavacha. And although the second person allowed now it to fall in, the first person did not do anything actively, and that's only passive, and that's not enough for a Kinyan. So that means that vis-a-vis kinyanim, we know that grama is insignificant. You have to do something biyadayim. It has to be action. It has to be an action. It has to be a direct result of that which you are currently doing. So we know that mechitza gabe mechitza, where the original walls sink into the ground, and the new walls are there. So vis-a-vis kinyanim, we know it's not significant. Kinyan requires a maisa biyadayim. So ve'elo le'inyan Shabbos have a mechitza and asa b'Shabbos. So the Gemara says, okay, so what about Shabbos? So what basically are we looking at now is that the original wall sunk in on Shabbos, and now the new walls are there. Isn't that the question of mechitza and asa b'Shabbos? V'tanya, we learned in the brisa called mechitza and asa b'Shabbos. We've already seen this brisa earlier, just 5 days ago, and now called mechitza and asa b'Shabbos ben b'shogeg ben b'mezid shma mechitza. A mechitza made on Shabbos is halachically viable. Lavit Marla, another Gemara says, wait 1 second. Didn't we say regarding that case, Amar Rav Nachman, Lo Shanu Ela Lizrok Avala Taltel Aser? Yes, it's a mechitza, but only vis-a-vis the liability. If I throw into that area, so then it is considered a Rishos Yachid. But vis-a-vis heter to carrying that area, Rav Nachman says, you're not allowed to carry in that area. So the Gemara reminds us, we saw this as well, ki itmar de Rav Nachman, am mezid itmar. No, Rav Nachman was only talking about mezid, he was only talking about when one did so intentionally. So under those circumstances, Rav Nachman has that limitation where it is only Rishos HaYachid lahachmir, but not lahakam. Adkan divrei ha-machlokas, so far we talked about where the mechitzas are created on top of another mechitzas, halachically insignificant, vis-a-vis kinyanim. The Gemara says, for sure, a kinyan has to be done via dayim, and vis-a-vis Shabbos, so the Gemara says, yeah, it's a mechitza anasa b'Shabbos, and therefore it should work. Rav Nachman's limitation does not apply over here. Ha'isa sa'adav de mechitza, agabe mechitza b'nechse ager. Gemara has the following case study. You have A, mechitza agabe mechitza that was done by a woman. So in other words, it was Nechse Hager, it was owned by a ger. He died, leaving no Yershim. And along comes this woman and just simply supplements the walls with more walls. Under these circumstances, what would be the halacha? So she'd go into Rav Nachman and she wanted to know. Asahu Gavra Rafak Baporta. Now along comes another person, meanwhile, and he actually worked the land. And also the comment to Rav Nachman Ukma Biyadei. And Rav Nachman awarded the man the property. So Asas Ihiva Katsavcha Kamei. And she now is screaming. She's not happy over Rav Nachman's ruling, obviously. So Amar La Maya Avilach, the La Mechazka, the Mechazka Inshi. And so Rav Nachman says to her, it's unfortunate, but you didn't make a chazaka. In other words, in order to acquire the land, you have to do a proprietary act. You did not do a proprietary act. All you did was just reinforce the wall. You just put more wall on top of the existing wall. That is nothing. It's insignificant. And so therefore, halachically, it does not have any significance. And so Rav Nachman says, sorry, but the law is the law, and so he dismissed her. Karfa beishos v'kira ba beisa'ah. We're towards the bottom of Chafei Amud Aleph. We are continuing our discussion about karpafim, karpafim, and in this next scenario, it is a total of 3 sa'ah, which obviously is one sa'ah too large. And of course, we're assuming it's non-residential, so that means to say that now that the area exceeds the 5,000 square amas, and under those circumstances, it's now going to be prohibited to carry. However, over here, we're going to be talking about reduction in the following manner. V'kira bo be'sa'a. And so what you did is you put a roof over one sa'a of the area. So, if you can imagine now, and again, if you have a picture, you don't have to imagine, you can look at the picture. But if you can imagine now, so over one saw of the property, 2,500 square amas of the property, so a roof was put over the top. Not a wall, just simply a roof. So Rav Amar Avir Kirav Miyasro, and Rav Zera Amar Ein Avir Kirav Miyasro. So here we have a machlokus between Rabba, and now in the Girsa Nargamar we have Rava, but on the side, corrects it to Rabba and Rabbi Zera. And the machlokus between Rabbah and Rabbi Zera is that, according to Rabbah, the airspace of the roofed area is now still going to be considered halachically there. And so therefore we have 3 sa'a. That's 1 sa'a too large. And therefore you can't carry in that area. And Rabbi Zera says, no, ain avir kiryu rav miyasro. No, you get to move that aside. That gets separated. Now, the Gemara says, what's the issue over here? You probably will guess it already, but the Gemara is going to spell it out. Lema, Rabba, Rav Zera, Beplukta, the Rav Shmuel Kamiflegi. And presumably what they're arguing about is a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. This machlokus between Rav and Shmuel, we're going to see a number of times here in Erevin, also brought up in Sukkah as well, and that is the Edmar Chsadra Bebika. So let's say I just simply put up 4 poles. in a valley. Valley just simply meaning it's an open area. And I lay down four poles. Rav Amar Mutal Tata Bakula. So according to Rav, I can carry within that entire area. And oh, by the way, an important note. There's a makeshift roof, a roof on top, meaning there are no walls. Every side is exposed, but there's a roof on top. So Rav says you're allowed to carry within the entire area. Shmuel Amar Ematatalin Ela B'Dala Amos. And Shmuel's of the opinion that no, you can only carry within Dala Amos. Shmuel gives the area in this pavilion a Carmela status. Whereas Rav says, no, it's a Rishos Yachid status. It's a bona fide Rishos Yachid. Rav Amar Mutal Tata B'Kul Amrinan Pitikra Yared V'Sosein. And according to Rav, the reason why you're allowed to carry under the area is because of the principle of Pitikra. And this idea is that when I have a flat roof, now I just gave away a little bit of the upcoming Gemara, but that's fine. If you have a flat roof, so what the halacha allows us to see is that the edge of the roof now is going to drop down. Now, Rav is of the opinion that not only does it drop down on all four sides, meaning we're giving the most extreme case over here where I have this open pavilion with a roof on top, and so now the roof is going to be coming down on all four sides, and therefore you have a Rishus Yachid. This is the way Rav sees it. Pitikra Yorei V'Sosein. Now, Shmuel's of the opinion that no, that we don't say Pitikra Yorei V'Sosein. Later in the Masechta, so we're going to see whether or not Shmuel holds that definitively, absolutely, or does he limit the principle of Pitikra Yorei V'Sosein? That's coming up later in the Masechta. But anyway, so what our Gemara now is saying is that presumably the Machlokes is between Rabba and Rabbi Zera regarding the expanse area, enclosed area of three Sa'ah, where one Sa'ah now has got a roof on top of it, and so now are we able to segregate the area under the roof from the rest of the of the Karpov? And if in fact we can segregate the two, then we're in great shape. Because now the remaining area is only two saw. That's an allowable area where one can carry in that area. So we had a machlokes between Rabban and Reb Zera. And the Gemara now is suggesting, oh, the machlokes between Rabban and Reb Zera is the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara says, like as follows. We are in the very top of Chafei Amud Beis. E, the Avida ki Achsadra Hachinami. Hacha b'maya skinan de Avda ki Urzila. So the Gemara says, look, if it was a flat roof, so then I'm with you. Meaning then we would agree to the Shita of Rav, which is Pitikra Yorei V'Sosein. Over here, it happens to be that we're talking about a slanted roof, right? The vast majority of our roofs are slanted. We're talking here about a slanted roof and a slanted roof. So then we do not subscribe to the position of Pitikra Yorei V'Sosein. Okay, so a distinction can be drawn. And so the case over here may not be consistent with the case of the Achsadra, and so the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, and specifically the Shita of Rav, does not necessarily take a role over here. We are continuing. We are on Chafei Amud Beis, two lines down. Amar Rabbi Zera Modina beKarpov sheNifrats beMilua leChatzer Shaser. If I have a Karpov that has opened up, in other words, your Karpov was enclosed on all four sides, and at the time when it was closed, it was 5,000 square amos within an allowable area where one can carry in that area, despite the fact that it was non-residential. And then it opens up in its entirety to a chatzer. So now a chatzer that was adjoining it, that was abutting it. There was a wall separating the two. The wall fell down. So now mi yasro. So the Gemara says that, Rabbi Zera says that I will agree that under these circumstances, so what we have now done is that we have added to the area. Adding to the area over here is obviously no good. Because once you add to the area, so now it is exceeding the allowable 5,000 square amos, and so therefore you're not allowed to carry in this area because it was non-residential. So Maskel of Rav Yosef v'chiyaver hamotelo osro. So Rav Yosef says, can we all slow down for just a moment? Meaning, yes, the wall fell down. And now what do I have side by side? I have a karpuf that is contiguous to a chatzer. Okay, but the chatzer was an area which was mutter. So it's true the karpuf opened up, but it opened up to an area of heter. So can't we say under those circumstances that since it opened up to an area of heter, so therefore it does not augment the size of the karpuf, but the way we could just simply view it is that it's karpuf and chatzer side by side and then can carry from one to the other. To which the Gemara says, wait 1 second. This idea of carrying from one type of Rishus Yachid to another, so we've discussed that before. We're going to discuss it again right now, and that is Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon on Shabbos allows you to carry from the Gog to the Karpuf, from the Karpuf to the Chatzer, from all these enclosed areas, where Rav Shimon gets to view them basically as all one status, as all one category. And so therefore the Gemara says, so over here, your suggestion, when the Karpuf and the Chatzar, who had a wall separating them and the wall came down, and now you're saying, well, shouldn't it be a problem because you've added to the area of the Karpuf, to which the Gemara is saying, well, no, another way to look at it is just simply a Karpuf and a Chatzar that's side by side. So Amalei Abai Kaman Karebi Shimon, so to which Abai says, wait one second, this necessarily has to subscribe to the Shita Rabbi Shimon. So the Rabbi Shimon Nami Ha'ika Avra Maka Mechitzos. So the Gemara says, even Rabbi Shimon is going to have a problem over here, and I'll tell you why. Because the area of the Karpuf was exactly 5,000 square amos. Now the wall came down. Now we're going to address the question of the adjoining Chatzar now that's opened up. But even before we get to that point, there's the area where the wall was. The area where the wall was now is exposed. So even before I get to the Chatzar that is next to it, I first have to contend with the area of the wall. The area of the wall is not a Chatzar. In fact, that's where the wall was. That now is going to be added to the Karpuf. And even according to Rabbi Shimon, you are now over the top. You cannot carry in that area because of the area of the walls. So Rav Chisda taught the following. If I have a Karpuf that opens up into a Chatzar, I can still carry within the Chatzar, but I can't carry within the Karpuf. Chatzar, my time of day is like Gifufei. So the Gemara says, now as far as the Chatzar is concerned, why? So the Gemara for a moment thinks, well, the Chatzar and the Karpuf weren't aligned one with the other, and maybe the Chatzar was a little bit wider, so that when the wall of the Karpuf fell, so you still had side posts to the Chatzar. The Gemara thinks maybe that's it. The Gemara says, okay, but that wasn't the case necessarily, meaning it could have been just the opposite, that maybe the Karpuf was wider than the Chatzar, and maybe when the wall fell down, you had side posts to the Karpuf, not to the Chatzar. So the Gemara says, that's not the explanation. So the Gemara says, the issue over here is that the Karpuf under discussion was exactly 5,000 square amos. When the wall now falls, that separates the Karpuf from our Chatzar. So the area where the wall is occupied, so that's added to the Karpuf. That addition to the Karpuf now is going to create a significant problem. Notably, that it's now exceeding 5,000 square amos. And now you can't carry within the area of the Karpuf. Now, vis-a-vis the Chatzar is obviously a residential area. Adding to residential area is not a big deal. So meaning to say that even if I were to add the area of the wall to the Chatzar, that is considered residential, and that's not going to be a problem. Adkan, that takes us to the end of that machlokas. And now, one more for this morning. Hahu Bustina. The Gemara says that we had over here a garden. Right? Rashi describes it as a parde. It's really an orchard. A better term to describe it. And in this orchard, Damisamach Laguda da Padna, and it was right next to a wall, and the wall was right up against the palace. So, orchard, and one of the walls was one of the walls was right up against a palace on the other side, and obviously you have the walls of the palace, which we're going to get to in just a moment. Now, the way Rashi describes it, Havi Samach Guda la Apana, Vihi Haisa, I'm reading the Rashi over here, Vihi Haisa lo. Okay, the Gersa Rashi is a little bit, but needs a little bit of work. But v'yisalo hekif ledira hahu guda shayabo pesach pasuach letzad pardes samchu hekif apardes dave mukif ledira v'yosmi beisasaim hava. So Rashi over here goes over the dimensions. So the area of the orchard was greater than 5,000 square amos, and the orchard originally was non-residential, but this wall on the side of the palace was placed over there to create a residential area. So it's this very wall that is actually making it a residential area. This very wall, what happens to it? Nafal, Ashisa Braisa Da'apadna. So this wall fell down. And so this wall fell down, and so now we're going to go back to what it was originally, which was a non-residential area. It's larger than 5,000 square amos, and therefore, we now have a problem. So Savar Abibi Lameimar Lismach Aguda Gav Yasa. So Abibi says, okay, but you know what? Once the wall has fallen down, so what is it essentially done? Is expose the wall of the palace. Can't we make the following argument? The wall of the palace should basically serve as the fourth wall to this orchard, and now we can consider it to be residential. Hey, isn't the wall of the palace anyway a residential wall? And so since it's a residential wall for the interior, of the palace, therefore it should serve as a residential wall for the exterior for the orchard. That's the argument that Rabibi is going to try to make. So Amar Le Rapapi, Rapapi dismisses the argument, and quite frankly, it's going to get just a little bit personal. Mishum de'asu mimulai amrisu mili mulyasa. He says, look, you come from the family of Eli. The family of Eli was a family that was cursed as a result of the actions of the sons of Eli, and so that nobody in that family is going to be living a long life. The word mulyasa means that you are truncated. And so he says that because you come from such a family, so you say things that are short-sighted. Now, admittedly, that is a really personal attack. And when you see this in the Gemara, so you'd like to try to understand it in the context of they were sharp to one another. They weren't necessarily mean to one another. Although the simple reading of the Gemara over here is that that was a sharp attack. And but anyway, let's get to the actual argument itself, which is no, it's not good. Hanach mechitzos legavai avinu lebrai lo avidan. When that palace was built, the walls of the palace were serving the interior of the palace. The walls of the palace were not serving the exterior. And now you want to use the exterior wall of the palace as serving as my fourth wall of the orchard in order to argue that now it's still a residential area? You can't do that. That wall is only serving the inside, not the outside. You simply can't look at that wall as something which is non-residential. Sorry, you can't look at that wall to try to create the exterior area as a residential area. That kind of takes us to the end of the Gemara. We're going to stop over here. And as a quick recap of the Gemara, we started off this morning with a number of machloksim. Most of them were between Rabba and Rava. Number one, you want to reduce the size of the karpuf. And it was lo hukaf ladira. And the karpuf was originally created as a non-residential area. And what you want to do is you want to reduce. So how exactly are you going to reduce it? So by putting trees inside of it, that does nothing. Everybody agrees. What if you build an itzaba? What if you build a pillar inside of it? That, as long as the pillar is significant in size, that's going to be a reduction. Anything less than 3, totally insignificant. Anything greater than 4, perfectly significant. Anywhere between 3 to 4, that's a machlokas. Number 2, let's say I create a new wall. The new wall is interior. This new interior wall from the existing outer wall. Again, same story. Karpuf that was non-residential. And it was greater than 5,000 square amas. And now with this new interior wall, so now I want to rezone the area. Not reduce, but rezone. So under those circumstances, does it work? Again, very simple. Greater than 4 tfachim away from the original wall. So for sure that works. Less than 3 tfachim, for sure does not work. Anywhere between 3 to 4, machlokes between Rabba and Rava. And parenthetically, by the way, Rav Simi had a slightly more lenient understanding of the machlokes. Let's say I have a wall of a karpuf area that's larger than 5,000 square amos, and I want to reduce. How am I going to reduce? I'm going to pad the interior. I'm going to pad it with cement, and the cement is not going to be permanent. It's going to slide off eventually. But we know it's going to slide off. Is that going to be a reduction? That too is a machlokas. Let's say a mound is serving as the fourth wall of the enclosure, and I add a new wall in front of the mound, more than 4 tefachim away, for sure now is going to be a rezoning. If it is within 3 tefachim of the mound, or if I build it on top of the mound, is that going to be considered new and significant? That too serves as a machlokas. And not only do we discuss it in the context of Shabbos, but we also discussed it in terms of Tel Hamislah, in terms of Kinyane Hager as well, when you want to try to do a proprietary act. Finally, the last machlokas on the Amud Aleph is, let's say I added walls to existing walls, which is halachically insignificant, and like the walls of Yericho, the original walls just simply sunk into the ground. All that's existing now are the new walls that I built. Is that going to be significant? So this is Mimela, this is Gurama. Is this going to be significant? So here too we have a machlokas in terms of Kinyanim. We said everyone agrees that that's not significant. Kinyanim, for sure, require a Maisa B'yadayim. How about vis-a-vis Shabbos? Is that going to be significant? The Gemara says, sure, it's significant, because that's considered walls that were created. Even if it occurs on Shabbos, that's going to be considered significant. Then, actually, this is one more machlokas on the Amud Aleph, and that is that what if I have an area that was lo hukaf ladira, exceeding 5,000 square amos? It was a total of 7,500 square amos. And on 2,500, you had a roof over the top. What do we say regarding the edge of the roof? Does it come down? So we had a machlokus between Rav and Rav Zera. Presumably the same machlokus as Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara says, no, not the same. Rav and Shmuel, which was discussing the Achsadra Bibika, where you had a simple flat top roof on four posts, and Rav says all four walls come down, the edge of the roof comes down on all four sides. Shmuel says it does not. To which the Gemara says, yes, that's true. Rav's position over there, Pitikra Yor Visosim over here, in our discussion, it was a slanted roof. And therefore, it's not the same Achlokas. On the Amud Beis, we have a discussion of Nifrats Bimaluo. You have a discussion of Nifrats Bimaluo, where it opens, the Kafir opens up to the Chatzer. And now the discussion of whether or not the area of the Chatzer is going to be added onto the Karpov. And as a result of that, now the Karpov is going to exceed 5,000 square amos, and you can't carry in that area. To which the Gemara says, even if I subscribe to Rabbi Shimon, it's still going to be a problem, because even before we get to the airspace of the Chatzer, you also have the airspace of the actual thickness of the wall. So the Gemara says, fine, that is, and it's going to serve as a problem, meaning it's going to prohibit the area of the Karpov, because now the Karpov exceeds 5,000 square amos. And our last discussion for the morning is the Bustina, where we had the orchard. The orchard where there was a fourth wall that was added on in order to make it residential, but that fourth wall fell down. And now the question is, can I use the wall of the palace, which obviously was built for the palace, can I use the exterior wall of the palace to serve as my residential wall? To which the Gemara says, no. Adkan.